Welcome to another City Gate Atlanta teaching. As an apostolic training and equipping center, it's our desire to empower you to fulfill your God-given destiny with tools like this teaching. For more information about City Gate Atlanta and our resources, go to citygateatlanta.org.
So let's welcome Winston Harvey as he comes up and shares a message with us tonight.
This one works. I don't want to shout, and you don't want to strain your ears. So, it's a joy to be here to be able to present God's word. And just what an honor and a blessing. And I do have a testimony. Jackie asked us to also give a first fruits testimony. And last spring, a good friend of ours, a good Restoring the Foundation mentor to us, Linda Shoplock, who's from the New Jersey area, said, there's an issue-focused activation three-day seminar at a wonderful church in New Holland, Pennsylvania. I won't be able to lead it. I want you and Pat to go lead it. Well, Linda, it's a day and a half drive. That's 700-800 miles. Linda, that's a lot of way to go just for that. And I know, but you're the ones to do it. Well, what about so-and-so? They live closer. No, I want you to do it. What about this other team? No, I want you to do it. Finally, I mean, if you knew Linda, you knew you couldn't tell her no. We tried. Finally, we got real spiritual on her. We'll pray about it. Didn't take long for us to know God said, go. New Holland, Pennsylvania, Mindy's backyard, is Amish country. I mean, when you're driving, expect to pass a horse and buggy. Expect to drive by a store and see two cars and three horse and buggies. Really a neat experience. But we went early. Friends of ours that had gone through Restoring the Foundation training a couple of years after us lived up there, and they went to that church. They had just been trained to lead seminars, but had never been involved in one. We couldn't ask them to lead it. So we do what we like to do and brought them alongside, helped train them. Here's some firsthand experience. But the blessing, besides getting to share God's word, just began to run after us. Glenn and Betty knew someone who gave us tickets to Sight and Sound, 2-hour production of Samson. Awesome. 2,000-seat auditorium was packed. That was about $120 in tickets given to us. If you ever get to go see Sight and Sound, whether on DVD like we have, we bought some, or in person, do it. Incredible acting and incredible gospel message. That was the first blessing. They took us by a furniture store because we mentioned we're shopping for living room furniture. Been looking 2 years, 2.5 years, haven't found anything that we like. Well, our friend owns a store. The Amish make it in their barns. He sells it. Okay, we'll go look. found what we wanted. It's going to be about $700. So we said, let's talk about it. Be sure that's what we want to spend that much money on. I mean, for what you're getting, not a bad price, but it's our money. So we talked about it that night. Went to Glenn and Betty's house the next day. Said, well, let's plan to go back. We'll get it. So I called my friend, told him you're in ministry. Said, he can probably give you a little discount. Okay. Weren't going to push it. Went in the next morning. Owner's son was there. Our friend Glenn asked, oh, yeah, Dad had to go to the hospital. There are some people in church in the hospital. He wanted to go as elder of the church, minister to them. Good. Picked out the furniture we want. They took us to the warehouse. Here's some more. Match the colors you got. Just pick out what you want. We paid them $750 in round numbers. Putting it in our car. Praise God, we had a nice Highlander. Could fit our luggage in and around the furniture. Owner's son comes back out. Come back in and bring your credit card. Need to make an adjustment. Was there something wrong? I thought it rang up right. If we owe you more, we'll pay it. Just let me have your credit card. Which I did, and he said, here's a receipt to reverse the $750. We want to give it to you. We didn't ask for a ministry discount. We were willing to pay. In fact, we had paid and we're putting it in our car. We want to give it to you. First fruit. Plus the sight and sound given to us. We're at about $850. Wanted to call Linda. I'm glad we came. Thank you for insisting we come. Then we got to the church. Nice big church. I mean, we really love their facility. Met the lady who was in charge of it. Well, the 18 or 20 that we had cut down to 15, cut down to 14, cut down to 12. Some can't come. Some wouldn't complete the required preparation. I think we have 7 or 8 coming. Okay. We'll minister to whoever. But we can't budge the RTF requirement if they're not going to take time to prepare. Then they're not that interested in ministering to others. We'll minister, we'll train who can come. She said, now your fee. Said, well, restoring the foundations recommends thorough format for a couple, which is $1,950. But with 8 paid participants, there's no way you can do that. Give us a love offering. We're already blessed beyond measure. Just give us a love offering. We'll be happy. Well, what about mileage? Whatever you think's right. Well, we see on Google you're 700 and something miles away. If we paid you 50 cents a mile up here and back, that's $700, almost $800 mileage. And we want you to minister to a couple of people while you're here. Okay, just give us a love offering. We led the 8 through issue-focused activation. Just really fell in love with everybody there. Went home, knowing our final words to them when they asked for a fee was, send us a love offering. Because with 8 paid at $95 apiece, you can't begin to make the recommended, just just love us. They loved us. 2 weeks later, we got a check in the mail. $1,950 fee, $750 mileage. They dug into their own money from the church, from other ministries to pay us. First fruits coming through. But the important key is we never insisted. We never said, we're Minister's Furniture Store. Give us the ministry discount. We paid full fee, full price. For our fee for leading the seminar, we said, you've already paying for breakfast, lunch, and dinner out of all this for the participants, the ministry team, for us, for other leaders. That's a good chunk of the 800 that came in. Just give us a little love offering. Open hands, and God poured in a blessing. First fruit. God will pour in a blessing in unexpected ways. What a joy. I'd really love to go back. I'd love to try one of those Amish carriages. I mean, we got to do a hot air balloon in Helen a couple of weeks ago, so maybe that's on our bucket list now, to ride in a horse and buggy carriage. That'd be fun. Well, back in May, I was praying about what to teach on tonight. And we had heard that Partners in Harvest was having a live webcast of their annual conference from Toronto. John Arnott was speaking that first Monday night. And the Toronto outpouring began in January of 1994. And in one form or another, Holy Spirit's still bubbling forth in Toronto. It's awesome. We never got to go to Toronto. Went to Brownsville some, but never Toronto. But we were around people who had been. We got to receive from them what was going on. Restoring the foundations was part of that for bringing inner healing to the leadership. In fact, in 2012, Partners in Harvest said, restoring the foundations, our pastors and worship leaders in Ukraine need help. Will you send some teams? And we were asked to go, along with Don and Iris Valley. What a joy to go to a different people, a different culture, and bring healing to them. So we feel like we're part of Partners in Harvest, even though we've never been there. And we've heard John Arnott and Carol Arnott a couple of times. And so I listened, and he said something that really stood out to me. He just said it briefly, a couple of lines about it. And I thought, well, Lord, that would be good to talk about. So three directions a Christian should look. And we should look at all three of them at the same time. Three directions for us to focus on. And you can do one, or you can do two, or you can do all three. But you're not going to be complete in Christ till you're doing all three. But God will let you do as much or as little as you want. So three directions for a Christian to look. The first direction, look inward. Now, you should have known when a Restoring the Foundation minister stands up here, he's going to say, look inward. We're all about inner healing. But look inward. Examine yourself. Examine your heart. David was a man after God's own heart. Did David mess up? No, not at all. Bathsheba, Absalom, counting the people, numbering them when he shouldn't, killing Uriah. Oh, just once or twice or 4 or 5 dozen times. Read Psalms. David messed up, but he examined his heart. Psalm 51. It's a good psalm to go to. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is always before me. I think David was a man after God's own heart because he recognized and admitted his own sin weaknesses, his own issues. David in Psalm 51 particularly, but in almost any psalm you read, was saying, examine me, God. I'm messed up. I guess we could put it in the modern millennial vernacular. Hey, God, I'm a messed up dude. Help me. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We cannot escape it. Look inward. Examine your heart. 1 John 1:9. If you don't know that, it's a good psalm, a good verse to memorize. Let's look at verse 8 of 1 John 1. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Who was that verse written to? It wasn't the heathen. It was the Christians. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word is not in us. We've sinned. Examine your heart. Those three verses were a letter written to Christians. Know there's a sin nature in your life. We need to come to the cross on a continual basis. Allow God to remove the sin, those issues in your life. Errors in today's church. You need to watch out. And I've heard it before, and you probably have too. God is love. That's true. I can turn to that verse. You can too. It says God is love. But today people are using that. I can keep sinning. God's love. He loves me. Don't use that verse as a license to sin. God is love. And because he's love, he'll pull you out of that sin mess you're in. If he didn't love you, he'd leave you in it. I like what Chester Kilstra said in one of the first times we were under his teaching. God loves me just as I am, but he loves me too much to leave me just as I am. Yes, God is love, but don't stop there. That love applied to my sin cleanses it as I repent. There's a job for God to do. Love us and cleanse us. It's a job for me to do. Confess it and repent. The other error we hear today is very similar. Grace. There's grace. And we have that cheap, greasy grace that we've allowed to be a cover for sin. It's almost the same as God is love, just different words. Taking a different verse and blowing it out of proportion. Grace was never intended as a way for us to keep sinning. Grace is for us to have the time, the ability, the spiritual strength to repent, change, and move into holiness. God wants us to be holy. Romans 6, 1 and 2 addresses this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Don't say, oh, I can sin. There's grace. There's grace so you can stop sinning. There's love so you can stop sinning. We should begin to walk in holiness. If you're not, examine yourself. Look inward. Second Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let us cleanse ourselves. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. I want to see Him. Allow His holiness to work in your life. God requires us to cleanse ourselves and walk in holiness. In John 15, we read the Father's the vine dresser. And He purges. He prunes. Allow Him to prune. It hurts sometimes. But God, I like that. I like that sin, God. It's fun. Allow Him to cut it out so you can cut it out. Allow Him to cut it off so you can cut it out. Hey, that's catchy. Look inward, but don't look inward by yourself. Go there with Jesus. If you go by yourself, it's what we tell people in Restoring the Foundations ministry. Don't go navel-gazing. Don't go looking on your own. No telling what you're going to find. Bunch of stuff. But go there with Jesus. Because when He finds it, He's going to love you. And He's going to apply the blood. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Look inward. Are you brokenhearted? Are you poor in spirit? Proclaim liberty to the captives. What are you held captive by? Recovery of sight to the blind. Where are you blind? Set at liberty those who are oppressed. Some versions say bruised. Where are you oppressed? You know, sin does all of that to us. Go inward with Jesus. He heals your broken heart. He binds up your wounds. And Jesus in Hebrews 7 continually intercedes for us. Go there with the Holy Spirit. In John 16, verse 8, and when he has come, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Allow Holy Spirit to bring that conviction. Now, if you look inward by yourself and start navel-gazing, you're going to find condemnation. So what's the difference between conviction and condemnation? The devil brings condemnation. You've blown it, Sandra. You messed up big time. I saw that. It's all over. Forget it. You're done for. But conviction of the Holy Spirit says, Sandra, let's go to the cross with that. Jesus is ready to lift you back up through his blood. Conviction of the Holy Spirit always points you to Jesus and the cross and his finished work, his blood to heal and to cleanse. Condemnation of the devil leaves you worse than when you started. Conviction of Holy Spirit lifts you higher than when you started. Closer to him. Let him bring conviction, because it always comes at the cost of Jesus. Condemnation comes at the cost of you. Look inward. That's for you. So after you look inward, where do you look next? Look upward. Look upward for him. Get to know God. Don't just know about him. Don't come with the list of what you need. Come with, God, you're awesome. I want to know you. I want to be like you. Spend time with him. Spend time with Father. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time with Holy Spirit. Three in one. We can't figure it out, but it's true. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One of my favorite parts, okay, my favorite part of restoring the foundation is soul spirit hurts. Where Jesus comes and brings healing is such an awesome time. And we're praying all the time, Lord, do we ask him if he wants to go to the Father? And at the right time, after Jesus has healed what he wants to heal, we generally ask the receiver, would you like to ask Jesus to take you to the Father? Because Jesus came to reveal the Father to us, to take us to the Father. The majority have said yes. And a very simple prayer. Jesus, would you take me to Father? And what they tell us flows something like this. Jesus is walking with me in this awesome hall, holding my hand. And these huge, splendid-looking doors open, and there's the throne room. And he walks up with me to the throne. And there's Father. I didn't know if I should be there, but Jesus held my hand. And Father reached down and picked me up and put me on his lap and hugged me like I was a 3-year-old. And I just put my head on Father's chest and I heard his heartbeat. And I felt his arms around me. Father loves me. You don't have to come to Restoring the Foundations for that. Spend time with Jesus. Ask him to take you to the Father. He came to bring you to the Father. He died on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood so he could take you to the Father. And when you're sitting in Father's lap, you don't say, I need a. You say, Father, God, you're so awesome. I love you. And people are glowing. They're saying, wow, that was awesome. Can I do this at home? Yes, please do. It's love and acceptance from Father. Why? Because they came through the blood of Jesus Christ. They came through Jesus. You can't get to the Father unless you go through Jesus. Warning for today's church error. Father's heart. That's true. It's good. I have benefited from it. But we're human beings. We go to extremes and we get off base of just Father's heart and we neglect Jesus and Holy Spirit. You need all three. Don't go the way it was when I was growing up. Just Jesus. And don't go to the just Holy Spirit. You need all three. Each part of the Godhead has a unique function in your life. Get to know them. Spend time. Look upward. Anyone. Father's heart, just Jesus, just Holy Spirit will get you off base. In fact, when we're praying our Restoring the Foundation prayers, we get to the part that says, we invite you, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. I've started praying, we welcome the entirety of the Godhead. We need you, Father. We need your presence, Jesus. We need and welcome Holy Spirit. We want all of you. God, can we have a group hug? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and me? But know God. Do you have to know which one at all times? Give him honor and glory. Just love him. Daniel 11:32, the second part of that verse. The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Know God. When you know God, you can carry him everywhere you go. It's not about anointing, but knowing him. A very scary verse that I want to keep before me. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I don't want it said of me that Jesus never knew me. I want to spend time with Jesus, with Father, with Holy Spirit. We've all done all those things listed. Probably everyone in this room has prophesied, done wonders, cast out demons. But let's be sure to put first things first and know Him. Spend time with Him. Fellowship with Him. Know Him. Look upward. Come to God just for who He is. So you look inward, that's for you. You look upward, that's for Him. The third place, look outward, that's for them. Don't just sit in church and warm a chair. Don't just come and listen to Nate lead worship and get all those goosebumps and feel good. Wow, that was neat. Hear Victor and Beverly prophesy. Oh, we heard prophecy. Go out and do something with what you learned tonight. Take what you've learned about God, or rather, take who you know and take His presence to others. When I first came back to the Lord back in the mid-70s at First Baptist, we had a saying, sit, soak, and sour. If you sit and you just soak, you're going to become sour. You got to give it out. Philippians 1, beginning in verse 20, Paul said, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness and always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body. When you go out, is Christ magnified in your body? Is His presence there? Whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better. Have you come to that point yet? To die is far better? That's what he just said. I don't think I know Jesus that well yet. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Thank you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all your progress and joy of faith. Paul was looking outward. He started looking upward. Hey, they're going to chop my head off tomorrow and I'm going to be with Jesus. But it's more needful for me to be here and help you. So now I'm confident that the Roman emperor can't cut my head off till it's time. It was more needful for Paul to be outward and help others than for him to go upward with Christ. Look outward. Some things I picked up out of that passage. Christ magnified in my body. You know, if we look inward and cleanse ourselves, as 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, and we look upward and we're with him. When we go to Walmart and we're in that checkout line, our body's going to magnify him. We've had people come up and start talking. And I'm sure others just look and wondered, or maybe Holy Spirit began to touch them. Fruit for your labor. Expect fruit for your labor. It's too easy to say, well, I was just watering. Somebody else, yeah, that's true. But expect you to get fruit. The hardworking farmer eats from the fruit. And it was more needful for the others, for them. Several years ago, well, 2004, 2005, our middle son went to aviation mechanic school to get his FAA license to be an aircraft mechanic. It's what he wanted and the direction he was pursuing. So that was great. It was, we live in Duluth. It was in Lawrenceville, a 10-mile drive. He came home after a few days of school and said, hey, Dad, there's this guy named Billy. Was in the Marine Corps, worked on helicopters. I said, well, if he's a nice guy, you'll learn from him. A week later, hey, Dad, that Billy I talked about, he's married, got a family in Milledgeville. He comes Monday through Thursday to school, and he can't afford an apartment here. Can he come stay with us? Well, sounds nice. So Billy came for a year and a half. Stayed with us Monday through Thursday, went to school. We never preached, never mentioned anything. We just lived our life. Loved Jesus. Billy began to get convicted. Billy began to get on fire for Jesus. This school was divided into 1, 2, maybe 3-week modules. When he was graduating, Billy said, you know, I could have exempted a lot of those. Not come for a week or 2 weeks, spent time with my family. But I didn't even take the exemption test. I just wanted to come and be around you and soak up Jesus. We never told him, we just loved Jesus and loved him. Billy graduated with John, got a job. He was a A&P mechanic like our son, and began to go back to church. became a deacon in a Baptist church, began to go to seminary online. Now he's not doing aircraft mechanic anymore. He's preaching. Because we said, yes, come live with us. We looked outward without saying anything. You don't need a position. You don't need a title. That's an error in today's church. I can't go do anything. I don't have a title in church. I haven't been to seminary. I haven't had a training or enough training. Dr. Dine's coming. He's got a doctor degree. I don't have anything. The devil will use whatever he can to stop you from being a witness. Don't let him win. Jesus sent the 12 out. Then he sent the 70 out. All they had was Jesus. And if you get real technical, I suppose we could say they didn't have Holy Spirit and you do. Because Holy Spirit didn't come till Acts 2 in the day of Pentecost. You got Holy Spirit in here. We're all ministered, called to show forth His glory. Take what you have and give it away. That's a spiritual principle. If you need more of something, give it away. I don't have enough money. I can't make ends meet now. Tithe, and you'll have more than enough. Wait a minute. You don't understand. I don't have enough money. I can't pay my bills. You want me to give 10%? Yes. Give with the right heart, and God will multiply what you have, and you'll have more than enough. You want more of God, more of His Word? Give out what you have. No, you don't have a doctor degree. You don't have a seminary degree. Give out what you have. If God hadn't called you to seminary, you better not go. If He hadn't called you to spend years studying for a doctorate, you better not do it. If He has, go do it. But if He hadn't, just do what you do. You've got a mission field. You go to our local Walmart, you can see a dozen countries within 10 minutes. Their mission field has come to us. But even if they're all just Americans, speak English, they're still a mission field if they don't know Jesus. Or like Billy, they knew Jesus, but they weren't living like they should for Him. Give out what you have. Get involved. Now, Jackie announced, and I think Kathy talked about it, there's more training coming at Citygate. And Jackie said last week, I believe, the goal of this is going to be healing rooms where we pray for the sick, the hurt, those who need God to touch them. There's a place to give out, to look outward to somebody else. But I don't know how. Come get trained. Come partner with somebody who does know how. Get stretched. It's a joy to pray for somebody on a Monday night that is going to have surgery on her shoulder that week. And because you persevered in prayer, I can move my arm. It doesn't hurt. I won't need surgery. And there's other times people get touched because of what you do. Be willing to get stretched. Paul said he was poured out like a drink offering. Are you willing for the Holy Spirit to pour you out like a drink offering? Look outward, touch others. So I'll sum it all up by three areas, three directions you should look all at the same time. Look inward, get healed. Now there'll be a lot of sin you'll see, and it's little by little. In Exodus, God told Moses, take the promised land, little by little, day by day. In the book of Joshua, Joshua did that. You may see a lot of issues in your life, but the Lord puts his finger on one. Deal with that. The others will come in their time. Look upward. Get to know him. Crawl up on his lap and just, oh, Father, I'm melting in your arms. Then look outward. Touch others. Whether it's here in healing rooms, prayer rooms, whatever we wind up calling them, whether it's another ministry here in the church, or whether it's when you go grocery shopping, you're going to bump into other people. Let Jesus spill out when they bump into you. Touch them with his love. Look outward. If you just look inward and upward, you're not a complete Christian. You need to look outward and give out what you have. So, Father, we thank you that you're the one who equips us to look inward, to be cleansed, to perfect holiness in the fear of God. And it's you, it's the blood of Jesus who opens the doors to the throne room so we can come into Father's presence and know him and be known by him. Abraham was a friend of God. We want to be your friend. I can think of no better tribute than to say, he's a friend of God. And Lord, we want to look outward. When we look outward, we want to go with Holy Spirit and Jesus to give us discernment of who to talk to and what to say. Let us spend time with you so the presence of Jesus glows from within us. Thank you, Father, that you equip us and empower us to walk in three directions at one time. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the City Gate Atlanta teaching. We hope you were encouraged, exhorted, and equipped. For more information about City Gate Atlanta, our resources, or upcoming conferences and events, go to citygateatlanta.org.